Good evening, everyone, and Happy New Year. So we have a new face with us tonight, and why don't we do introductions? Would you like to start, Jules?
Julian.
I'm Dan.
Tammy.
Lauren.
Sonia.
Britt.
Russ.
Wendy.
And I'm Carolyn. And our teacher Angie is away traveling, but she'll be back next week. So welcome.
Really? She's going to be here next Tuesday?
I know, she's been gone so long, it does seem like... Yes, she'll be here next week, I'm sure of it.
We won't.
Well, that's what I had when she was back this coming weekend, like the 20th.
She said, I remember the 21st, she said, which is a Monday.
Okay. Yeah, I thought the 20th, but in any case, it's before next Tuesday. So we, it's our practice after sitting on these Tuesday evenings is that we look at some texts and have the opportunity to read them out loud. And in this period, we're working with and being with, studying maybe. Maybe that's a little strong, but we're being with Suzuki Roshi's book, A Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. And so we read out loud as we go around, and someone can pass you a book. Read a paragraph each to get the sense of these words in our body. It's very interesting we say that phrase, that little chant before we speak, after sitting, the little one after we do the Heart Sutra chant. And we say we vow to taste the truth of the Tathagata's words. And it's very interesting that the Tathagata's words are so many words, really all of our words. And then the Suzuki Roshi book is, it's Suzuki Roshi's words, but through his students who transcribed this and did this in a kind of collective after he died, actually. So it's very interesting how the Tathagata's words come to us. So let's do them. We're on page 65 in the under Right Attitude, a section or a paragraph begins, a section begins called God-giving.
God-giving. To give is not attachment. That is, just not to attach to anything is to give. Every existence in nature, every existence in the human world, every cultural work that we create is something which was given or is being given to us, relatively speaking. But as everything is originally one, we are, in actuality, giving out everything. Moment after moment, we are creating something, and this is the joy of our life. But this is I, which is creating and always giving out something, is not the small I, it is the big I. Even though you do not realize the oneness of this big I with everything, when you give something, you feel good, because at that time, you feel at one with what you are giving. This is why it feels better to give than to take.
We have a saying, Dana Prajna Paramita. Dana means to give. Prajna is wisdom, and Paramita means to cross over, to reach the other shore. Our life can be seen as a crossing of a river. The goal of our life's effort is to reach the other shore, Nirvana. Prajna Paramita, the true wisdom of life, is that which in each step of the way, the other shore is actually reached. To reach the other shore with each step of the crossing is the way of our true living. Dana Prajna Paramita is the first of the six ways of true being. The second is Sila Prajna Paramita, one of the Buddhist precepts. Then there are Kshanti Prajna Paramita, or endurance, Virya Prajna Paramita, or ardor, or constant effort. Dhyana Prajna Paramita, or Zen practice. And Prajna Paramita, or wisdom. Actually, these six Prajna Paramita are one. But as we often, as we can observe life from various sides, we count six.
Dzogchen Zenji said, to give is non-attachment. That is, just not to attach to anything is to give. It does not matter what is given. To give a penny or a piece of leaf is Dana Prajna Paramita. To give one line or even one word of teaching is Dana Prajna Paramita. If given in the spirit of non-attachment, the material offering and the teaching offering have the same value. With the right spirit, all that we do, all that we create, is Dana Prajna Paramita. So Dzogchen said, to produce something, to participate in human activity, is also Dana Prajna Paramita. To provide a ferry boat for people, or to make a bridge for people, is Dana Prajna Paramita. Actually, to give one line of the teaching may be to make a ferry boat for someone.
According to Christianity, every existence in nature is something which was created for or given to us by God. That is the perfect idea of giving. But if you think that God created man and that you are somehow separate from God, you are liable to think you have the ability to create something separate, something not given by Him. For instance, we create airplanes and highways. And when we repeat, I create, I create, I create, soon we forget who is actually the I which creates the various things. We soon forget about God. This is the danger of human culture. Actually, to create with the big I is to give. We cannot create and own what we create for ourselves, since everything was created by God. This point should not be forgotten, but because we do forget who is doing the creating and the reason for the creation, we become attached to the material or exchange value. This has no value in comparison to the absolute value of something as God's creation. Even though something has no material or relative value to any small I, it has absolute value in itself. Not to be attached to something is to be aware of its absolute value. Everything you do should be based on such an awareness, and not on material or self-centered ideas of value. Then whatever you do is true giving, is Dana Prajna Paramita.
When we sit in the cross-legged posture, we resume our fundamental activity of creation. There are perhaps three kinds of creation. The first is to be aware of ourselves after we finish zazen. When we sit, we are nothing. We do not even realize what we are. We just sit. But when we stand up, we are there. That is the first step in creation. When you are there, everything else is there. Everything is created all at once. When we emerge from nothing, when everything emerges from nothing, we see it all as a fresh new creation. This is non-attachment. The second kind of creation is when you act or produce or prepare something like food or tea. The third kind is to create something within yourself, such as education or culture or art or some system for our society. So there are three kinds of creation. But if you forget the first, the most important one, the other two will be like children who have lost their parents. Their creation will mean nothing.
Usually everyone forgets about the Zen. Everyone forgets about God. They work hard at the second and third kinds of creation, but God does not help the activity. How is this possible for Him to help when He does not realize who He is? That is why we have so many problems in this world. When we forget the fundamental source of our creating, we are like children who do not know what to do when they lose their parents.
If you understand Dana Prajna Paramita, you will understand how it is we create so many problems for ourselves. Of course, to live is to create problems. If we did not appear in this world, our parents would have no difficulty with us. Just by appearing, we create problems for them. This is all right. Everything creates some problems. But usually people think that when they die, everything is over and the problems disappear. But your death may create problems too. Actually, our problems should be solved or dissolved in this life. But if we are aware that what we do or what we create is really the gift of the big I, then we will not be attached to it and we will not create problems for ourselves or for others. And we should... I'll go ahead and just finish it. Unless you want to read. And we should forget day by day what we have done. This is true non-attachment. And we should do something new. To do something new, of course, we must know our past, and that is all right. But we should not keep holding on to anything we have done. We should only reflect on it. And we must have some idea of what we should do in the future. But the future is the future, the past is the past. Now we should work on something new. This is our attitude and how we should live in this world. This is Dana Prajna Paramita. To give something or to create something for ourselves. So to do something through and through is to resume our true activity of creation. That is why we sit. If we do not forget this point, everything will be carried on beautifully. But once we forget this point, the world will be filled with confusion.
Suzuki Roshi brings together a lot of important points, as he usually does in a few words, in this chapter. The important points about not being attached to whatever it is that we're doing, or whatever life brings to us. And that's why we keep sitting down, because that's very hard not to do. We have a lot of training to take care and to make sure we do the right thing and to care about our outcomes. So that's just part of who we are. He points again and again to the paradox of who we are, of living in time. You know, just we have to, of course, do things, and we have to create things, he says, but we have to make things new, but and we have to remember the past, but not hold on to the past. And not. So how do we do that? That's a bit mysterious, and it sounds very paradoxical, but that's why we keep sitting down, because when we keep sitting down, moment after moment, day after day, year after year, how we do it just reveals itself. We just begin to do it, or we find it. We find it easier and easier to do. I jotted down a couple of things that came to me in reading this chapter. Is when he talks about, he puts this in interesting terms and referencing God, and he says, he prefaces that with saying, you know, Christianity. So that's one way we can talk about the generosity of the world in which we're here. The world is very generous to us. We couldn't really exist without the generosity of the world, which is maybe another way to talk about it. And it's a little turn of the kaleidoscope, which Suzuki Roshi points out happens when we sit down in seated meditation in Zazen. That turns the kaleidoscope for us, and we shift away from the little I and our cultural references. And we do kind of forget the sense of attachment of who we are. And we just are. So we recognize this when we sit down. And we kind of recognize that we can work and tend and even plan and keep in mind that we will need to know our past in order to continue. And yet all the materials, everything is here for us to work with. And that's not of our doing. We didn't create that. That's what I think he's pointing out when he says, well, we create airplanes and highways, and we create the internet and, you know, everything. That's just mentioning the positive things. Of course, we could also mention the more negative things, but which also have an equal value in a way. So this non-attachment applies to both. It applies to not turning away from even the horrors that human beings are confronted with. But all of these things we put together in a way, but we don't really create them. They're all the materials of the world are given to us, and then we can make something new of them. But it's not that we create them on any level. On a physics level, we have all these atoms to play with, as it were, and then we can just put them together in all these combinations, but not being attached to them, we can stay out of trouble. And I think if you reflect on your own practice, you might see that that's true. I was reminded of this story, which probably many of you have heard, about not being attached to anything, not denying the unpleasant either, and the old Zen story of the monk who was accused of fathering a child in a small village many centuries ago. And so the daughter became pregnant and told her parents that the monk got her pregnant. So the parents, after the baby was born, went to the monk and said, okay, you know, you did this and you're responsible. So you brought this child into the world, so you're responsible. And he said, all right. And he took the baby and he raised the baby for, the stories vary, but 4 or 5 years. And at the end of that time, the young woman who had really gotten pregnant with a young fisherman who had moved to a different village went to her parents and confessed, and she had re-met the fisherman and said, it's really not true what I said, and the monk didn't father the baby, and the real father is so-and-so from the other village, and we can take care of the baby now. So the parents went to the monk and said, well, we're sorry, but we realize now that you weren't the father of our daughter's child, and so now we want that baby back. And the monk said, all right, and gave the baby back. Kind of a strange story, but kind of a folk and mythic way of dramatizing that kind of non-attachment, to do the best with whatever circumstances we have, is giving of ourselves to the world, really. dana prajna paramita. Another aspect is this kind of giving in Buddhism, the dana prajna paramita, is not about being recognized. It's not, in a Western sense, often people who are philanthropists want to be recognized. Not all of them, but many do. But in Buddhism, it's a kind of a not being attached, not being attached to the recognition of, I'm giving this. In fact, stories I've heard of sitting in Buddhist communities in Southeast Asia, when people make meal offerings to yogis who are sitting or to the monks, they put them on their huts without, and then go away. They don't, and these are the lay people who are supporting the monastic community and the community of people who are practicing meditation for long periods of time in Thailand and in Burma. So the people bring the offerings, and then they go away. They leave them on the porch of the kuti or the hut, and they go away. And also in every Buddhist tradition, in the Mahayana, in the Tibetan Vajrayana, in Zen Buddhism, and in the Theravada, Southeast Asian, all these traditions give their practice away in some way or another. They chant or make a vow to, such as we do with the Bodhisattva vows, to share this practice of being not ego-centric, not attached, of giving, kind of a deep human practice, but we can easily forget that. We're so complicated as humans. We have so many facets. But sometimes the deepest and the most bedrock ones we've covered over, and we forget them. So one other thing that this brought up for me was a quote from Dogen. And Dogen says, when one learns well, being born and dying are both giving. All productive labor is fundamentally giving. Entrusting flowers to the wind, birds to the seasons, are also meritorious acts of giving. It is not only a matter of exerting physical effort. One should not miss the right opportunity. Here, our meditation practice supports our ability to see the right opportunity. Meditation and generosity amplify each other. So I think, of course, Suzuki Roshi is in the Soto Zen tradition of Dogen, and I think he very much had that in mind. At least it brought that to mind for me. So it's all I have to say, and I'd like to hear what you have to say, if you have anything, comments or questions or reflections or... Dan.
Sometimes I feel that non-attachment is a verb and that I do it. And then it feels very inauthentic. And there are other times where, you know, I realized I did something only later and realized that I wasn't attached, it wasn't an effort, and it was not even registered that I had done it. And somebody said, oh, you know, thanks for whatever, whatever. And it's like, it was up to them to say it or not, and they happened to mention it. I realized, wow, yeah, I guess that could have benefited that person, and I didn't even notice I did it. And in some sense, the second experience seems more authentic than the first. And I'm kind of asking, is it generally true that if we make an effort to non-attach, is that not our way?
Well, I think that's a very good point, because this whole little chapter. These texts are within this chapter that he's calling right effort or right attitude. So, and that is that's one of the foundational practices. One of the eight noble, one of the eightfold path and the four noble truths. So, what is right effort? Effort is. At a certain point, even that duality of feeling inauthentic, kind of disappears too, because one is just engaged with whatever one is engaged with, and then it's as if there's we're really integrated, but the way we're set up in language particularly, we have this kind of dualism of the big I and the little I, and it's like there's this shadow play that goes on. But you have that experience of just going on and doing it, and then it just feels authentic, inauthentic for a moment or two, and you notice it, you're aware of it, so that's all, it's all good. Just not to you're just noticing it. We have to trust ourselves a lot in this practice. And sometimes we can over trick ourselves, we can get too tricky, try to figure things out. But just noticing that that when you're making too much effort, it feels authentic, and then we have to make the effort to stay on balance and yet not too much. That's another old Buddhist parable, which you probably heard too, the parable of the lute, and the string is too tight, then it's too effortful and you don't feel like quite right. And then when it's too loose, you're just slacking off, and you can be so deluded that you're not doing anything. So, and that's like each of us has to find that place for ourselves, because it's different for each of us. That's important. It's ongoing too. And it's not that we get it like we become tightrope walkers like Chinese acrobats and then never fall off the high wire. We just keep going.
Turning over the interest in having your energy and creative energy contribute to the welfare of the world or whatever. And is that being attached to it, or hoping that it will be a positive, have a positive result, or by looking for the right opportunity, that kind of assist your energy in going in that direction?
Well, I think that think perhaps more, and this is just a matter of the words in which to frame that, that it's another kind of right effort, and which, you know, he specifically addresses in here about creating and these different forms of, he says, I think there's perhaps three, he does say that perhaps in there, so maybe many more, but creating something in society or art or just the simple creating. So it's maybe not looking for the opportunity, but just being open to the opportunity. I would have to agree with Suzuki Roshi humbly that the first kind of creation, remembering that when we get up, and we can remember this most clearly when we get up from zazen, that everything comes up, and so then there are all the opportunities, and maybe patience is part of it too. I certainly feel that personally, you know, that we do many things, and we do we often are so in the middle even of our lives that we don't realize how much we've done and how we're always searching for something else. But being open, so not looking like kind of peering for something, but just being receptive and open to seeing what comes up in our circumstances. And sometimes it may take a while for all the causes and conditions to come together to do something that we may have a yearning to do, something which I do think we can respect. We may not even know how to exactly frame it, or, you know, but may have any kind of yearning to translate our energy. If I'm addressing your question, am I at all on the right track here? Am I going in anything that was, you know?
Well, I guess, like, to be very a concrete example would be, like, if you want to donate some money someplace.
Mm-hmm.
How careful should you be? You know, I mean, is it being attached to, like, follow the result of the money and see if it's used the way
you intend? Oh, I see. Well, I say yes. So, you know, if you have the impulse to give, you just give and let it go. I mean, and if you don't have the impulse, then, you know, or if you're concerned about that, then if you're concerned that your impulse is conflicted in a way to give or not, in this example you're giving, then I would, that creates more problems, as Suzuki Roshi said, because then that's just go, and then you can let go this conflicted impulse to give and just not give. It's a little harder with giving money to politicians. If you do that, you know, you have to hold accountability, but there's also accountability. So, but that's also. But I guess the root of that is that's the trust, and that's the non-attachment. You trust yourself to follow your impulse to give, and then you just trust that whomever you've given it to or what will just do, and then so. Well, Well, we're a little over. No one else has anything. So let's sit for a minute.